Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. So this week, I haven't worn my winter coat yet because I'm not ready for winter, but I was a little miserable a couple days. So it's getting a little chilly. And I saw a snowman sweater this morning, so I think that may be a hint. So guys, I hope that you're able, if you are able to be here Thursday morning for the men's breakfast, 6:45. And I know coming up on the 20th, this Saturday, is a young adults activity, and then a ladies' night out on the 26th. So make sure you take advantage of those opportunities. And also on the 31st, our trunk or treat, an opportunity to reach out to our neighborhood and encourage you to consider being a part. I know many of you have already been bringing candy, which is greatly appreciated. I can list the kinds that you should bring so we can sample, but I won't do that. It's actually good when you bring the kinds that we don't like, because then it's a little easier to handle. But and then also, we'd love to have people to bring your car and to be a part of that as we reach out to our neighborhood. The teens are doing a great job in organizing that. And so we trust that it will be a great opportunity to reach out to our neighborhood. So many of you have been asking about the memorial service for Debbie Rich, who passed away last Sunday night. And it looks like it's going to be on the 25th, still working out details with the internment and the memorial service, but it looks like our tentative plan is 10 o'clock on the morning of the 25th. So I encourage you to be praying for Bill and Mariah, and just pray for them. And then encourage you to consider being here to be with them as we celebrate Debbie's life. The Odd Couple. You guys watch The Odd Couple? I know it's been movie and TV show. I remember as a kid watching the TV show Felix and Oscar, right? And Felix and Oscar were opposites. Felix the neatnik, Oscar the slob. And, you know, they had those enduring characteristics that made you even appreciate the negatives in their life. But they were an odd couple. And this morning, as we continue our series, Tiny Giants, and we look at 3 John, we see an odd couple, but the one side of the odd couple, there are no enduring characteristics in the life of a man named Diotrephes. But in the life of Gaius, there were some incredible characteristics that we are called to follow. So again, we're looking at the 4:1 chapter books of the New Testament, and so we're on number 3. Number 1, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Philemon, and Philemon was a guy, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, and he encouraged Philemon to forgive Onesimus. And I'm sure Philemon did not feel like forgiving Onesimus, but Paul challenged him to the importance of forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is not natural, but it is necessary. Forgiveness honors God, it benefits the person that's forgiven, and it frees the one who forgives. And so we see the importance of forgiveness. Last week we looked at 2 John, and John challenged his recipients to stand for the truth in love. And we used a definition by Josh McDowell of absolute truth. Absolute truth is objective, universal, and constant. And we need to stand for the truth, and we need to live in the truth, but our life needs to also show love. Both of them are vital, and he spoke of the truth in love. We need to stand for the absolutes of Scripture, the lifestyles that God calls us to live, the things that he challenges us to do and the things that he challenges us to reject. But we need to love. And we challenge the importance of loving and the fact that as a church body, We need to love everyone. We're challenged as individuals to love our neighbor. And standing for the truth in love, because truth without love can become legalism, and love without truth can lead to relativism. Both truth and love are vital. This morning we're going to look at 3 John, and 3 John gives us a practical outlet for love that's demonstrated by the life of a man named Gaius. So let's pray and ask for God's guidance as we look at His Word. Father, we're so grateful for Your goodness and Your love, and I pray as we look at the lives of Gaius and Diotrephes and also Demetrius, that You would help us to see the importance of living a life demonstrated by love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 John, beginning in verse 5, it says this, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." He's speaking to this man, Gaius. John, continuing on in verse 6, "who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, but he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true." So as we've done the last 2 weeks, we're going to begin by giving an overview of the letter, and then we're going to look at the main lesson that the author of the letter is having for us. The letter, the background of the letter, it was written by the Apostle John, and he wrote to a man named Gaius. Now, we don't know much about Gaius. There are three different Gaiuses who are mentioned in the New Testament, but this man is not necessarily one of them that are mentioned in other passages. Gaius was a very common name in the Roman culture. It looks like he lived in the Asia region of the Roman Empire. And although we can't connect Gaius with a specific Gaius that may be mentioned in other parts of Scripture, we can connect Gaius with godly character. And this letter, we can look and see what John is teaching us and what God, through the writing of this letter, is teaching us. We can see that through looking at the character of these two main characters, Gaius and Diotrephes. First, Gaius. Gaius was known for his godliness, and specifically, Gaius was known for his hospitality. He was known for his great kindness to traveling missionaries and church leaders who would come through the area. When you mention the name Gaius, the people thought of hospitality. Love demonstrated by action. And they, in the early church, would have these, the church leaders would be traveling through as they were starting new churches, and so they'd be traveling through, and missionaries would be traveling through, and Gaius was known to be able to reach out and to encourage them and help them while they were there and as they went on to other places. But not just these church leaders. Gaius was known for his hospitality toward everyone. His love was physically demonstrated through his hospitality that he shared with others. And then we're introduced to Diotrephes in verse 9. Diotrephes was the opposite of Gaius. Now, Felix and Oscar, you know, you were enduring, you know, they were sort of enduring characters in the old TV show. There was nothing enduring about Diotrephes. You see, Gaius was known for loving others. Diotrephes was known for his pride. Everything Diotrephes did was for himself. As we see there in verse 9 and following, evidently he was unwilling to share a previous letter that John had sent in fear that it would challenge Diotrephes' authority. He was excommunicating people from the church who disagreed with him in his teaching. He was a leader in the church, but he spent his time gossiping in order to hurt others. He desired to do whatever he needed to do in order to have and keep power. Driven by pride. Now, at the end, in verse 12, we are introduced to this guy named Demetrius. And the letter closes with this mention of Demetrius. Demetrius was an example to follow. Now, it's probable that Demetrius was the one that John had sent the letter with. He had Demetrius carry the letter to Gaius. We don't know a lot about this previous letter that he mentioned, that John mentioned in verse 9, but it could be that it was sent to the church and Diotrephes saw it first and no one else saw it. So John had this letter hand-delivered to this godly church member, Gaius. And just in a short mention of Demetrius, we see an incredible amount of his character. In verse 12, we're told that Demetrius had a good testimony shared by others, and that he had a good testimony from the truth itself. What does that mean? In other words, his reputation and his character matched. Now, we're called to have a good reputation. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. But reputation is what others believe about us. Character is what God knows about us. And so we see that John wrote the end of verse 12, he says that there is a testimony of the godliness of Demetrius by the truth itself. He had a godly reputation. He had a godly character. The two matched. So what is the lesson that John has for us in this short letter? Well, this comes out as we examine the differences and the contrasts of Gaius and Diotrephes. First, the godliness that was demonstrated by Gaius. He lived a life of action. You see, Gaius not only held the truth, but he lived the truth. His life was a life of serving. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42 says this, "And who receives you receives me," Jesus was speaking to his disciples, "and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." So what's happening in Matthew chapter 10? In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus had challenged the disciples. In chapter 10, he sends them out to go throughout the countryside, to the towns and villages, and to share the good news of Jesus. So as he does that, as he sends them out, they are to go out there to take nothing with them, and they are to trust God that people will come alongside in these communities and will be hospitable. They will host them and take care of their needs. And so here in the end of chapter 10, he's talking, they're sort of having a review, and he's talking about the importance of hospitality and how those disciples had seen the people reaching out to them and encouraging them through hospitality. And as Jesus was sharing that, he says, as they received you, they have, Jesus speaking, they have received me and they have received my Father. And there is great reward for those who demonstrate that hospitality. And here in 3 John, we see that Gaius was doing the same thing. He had a life of serving. He determined to love through serving. I there are many things that can keep us from serving, but as I look at it, I see two large obstacles that each of us face as we attempt to serve. Because I'm confident if we went around the room, that each of you would say, yes, I want to serve others. But oftentimes that desire doesn't come to fruition in the service that we would like to give. I think first obstacle is that we are challenged by the busyness of life. You see, we get caught up in our daily activities and we miss the opportunities to serve. And the only way that we're going to overcome that obstacle is when we make serving a priority. You know, and it's amazing to me. Here is this small letter, but God has chosen to have this as part of Scripture, as part of the Bible. I mean, we can look at Philemon, obviously forgiveness, an important thing for us to do. And 2 John, standing for the truth in love, we understand the importance as individuals in the church for us to do that. But why does he include this letter commending this guy that we don't even know about being hospitable to people that come through? Obviously, God thinks it's important. And so we get in the busyness of life, and oftentimes good things, but when we don't make serving a priority, it is very easy for it to simply be pushed off to the side. But we need to make sure it stays on the schedule. A few weeks ago, we got a call from our daughter who's in college, and she said she had a friend who was riding his bike across America, and he was going to be in Helena, and would we have him for dinner and have him stay overnight at our house and have breakfast for him as he went off the next day on the next leg of his journey? Now, it was probably good that my wife was the one who got the call. Because I could have thought of all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't have him stay there. I mean, we didn't know him. We had activities that night. I mean, I could come up with a really good list. I mean, it was so good, it maybe even make you cry, my list I could give. Why we shouldn't do it. But my wife said, no, we need to make this happen. So we made it happen. Guy's name was Kevin. And, you know, it was cool. We got to hear his story. And we got to share the gospel. Kevin doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior. We got to share the gospel with Kevin. And we made about a 16-hour friendship with Kevin. But you don't know what that little bit of hospitality would do in the life of Kevin. When my wife willingly and me reluctantly demonstrated hospitality. But we were busy. But it needs to be a priority. And hospitality, it's not just having someone over to your house, it's serving others in a variety of ways. We need to demonstrate hospitality, love, and action through serving. But I think there's a second struggle that we have, and I struggle with the first one, but I catch myself in this one all the time. And that's this. We are reactive in our serving rather than proactive in our serving. It's easy for me to say, well, you know, if you need anything, just let me know. Right? Get yourself saying that? We know they need something. But we're just like, well, let me know. And I don't think we're doing that with a hardened heart. But we sort of just want it to come up and have to slap us in the face before we say, okay, yeah, I'll do this. We need to be proactive. We need to be constantly on guard and looking for opportunities to serve. Whether they are asked for or not. If I know my neighbor is going through a difficult time, what can I do to be an encouragement to them? If I know there's somebody at work that has a big decision to make, what can I do to walk alongside that with them? Or maybe they're going through a difficult time or a tough relationship or whatever it may be. What am I doing to proactively step out, step up to serve? Because I guarantee if we only do it as a reaction rather than being proactive, we are going to miss a multitude of opportunities to serve. We need to be proactive in our serving. Gaius made serving a priority, and he was continually looking for ways to serve. You see, for Gaius, it was all about others. Now, Diotrephes was the polar opposite of Gaius. Ungodliness demonstrated the character that Diotrephes displayed. While Gaius was known for a life of service, Diotrephes was known for a life of pride. All that Diotrephes did was directed by his pride. Verse 9 tells us that he loved to have the preeminence. He desired authority and control and would do whatever was required to have it. And that led him to a life of gossip. It's interesting because, I mean, he talks about how Diotrephes was ungodly and how he sought to have the preeminence, how he would kick people out of the church if they didn't agree with him on minor issues, and or they tried to have power, or maybe he felt they were a threat to his power. But he mentions one specific characteristic that Diotrephes had. One activity that Diotrephes was very good at, and that was gossip. You see, Diotrephes spent a good amount of his time making others look bad. Diotrephes used gossip to destroy his opponents. And I intentionally use the word opponents there. I was going to use the word enemies, but opponents. And I want you to get the picture. You see, Diotrephes was a leader in the church, and there were other leaders in the church, but Diotrephes wanted them to have no power. He wanted the Apostle John to have no authority. He was all about Diotrephes. And so these people that should have been on his team, he saw them as opponents. They were the enemy. And the word used for gossip in the original language is a very descriptive word. And it was pictured by the bubbles created when a pot boils over. You know, all those bubbles that come up that basically are worthless? And that's the idea of the meaning. It's worthless and empty words. And so as you picture that pot and the bubbles coming up, that's what it was like. Diotrephes used gossip as a way to promote himself and to demote others. This week, I read an article about a group of girls who made false accusations about a classmate. And when it was found out that these accusations were false, they said that they started the accusations, the stories, the rumors, because they didn't like that classmate. In fact, one was quoted as saying, "I didn't like the way they talked." They saw him as an enemy, so anything they could do to destroy that enemy. So they started spreading rumors that destroyed that classmate's life. Why? Because it was all about them. They wanted to be popular. They wanted to be in control. You see, when it becomes all about me, I can do whatever I want to destroy others as long as I am benefited. Remember, Gaius, it was all about others. For Diotrephes, it was all about himself. So we have objects to help us remember, right? 2 weeks ago, Philemon, the pearls, you know, the oyster and the pain, but the beautiful result. The difficulty of forgiving, but the beautiful result when we're willing to do it. And then last week, standing on the truth and the rock from 2 John. We need to stand on the truth, but we don't use it to bash people's heads in. We need to love. Always stand, but always love. So, this week, you should be able to get this pretty easily. I mean, even first service people got this, so I know you guys will. So, a cup of cold water. If you remember that we read Matthew chapter 10, if you give one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name, great is your reward. We need to be busy giving out the cup of cold water, and we don't want to be Diotrephes, the empty bubbles. Now, I sort of struggled with this. I turned it backwards because on the front it says bubble joy. Hey, but it's actually bad bubbles. All right, so it's going to be backwards the whole week. So just remember that. You didn't see the bubble joy on the front. You saw the bad bubbles on the back. We want to be people who have a life that's demonstrated by service to others, rather than a life that's focused upon what's best for me. Now, sometimes it's difficult to give an application. I try. Sometimes I probably do better than others. Giving an application, because it's so important. When we take God's Word, it's more than just knowing God's Word. It's living God's Word. And sometimes, you know, whatever the passage, the application may not be as clear. This week's application is pretty obvious. We need to serve others. So I'm going to ask you to do a couple things this morning before we leave. Now, I encourage you, I trust you've been taking notes this morning, and on the back of the insert, there's just a brief thing with just a few questions and actually a list this week. I encourage you to go through and do it. Just a little reminder of what God's Word was teaching us this week, and I hope that you do that through the week. It's pretty easy to take and fold it up, put it in your Bible, well-meaning, put it in your Bible, and then in about every 3 months, what do? You clean out all the bulletins or inserts out of the Bible. But so take the time this week to do that. But before we leave this morning, because what happens? You this morning you're saying, yeah, I need to serve. But what happens is this afternoon things get busy, tomorrow things get, pretty soon it's the end of the week. So I'm going to challenge you to do this. And this is just something that's a challenge for you. I'm not going to have you stand up next Sunday if you fulfilled the challenge. I'm not going to do that. Or stand up if you didn't. I'm not going to do that either. But I want you to do two things. One is, I want you, in just a minute, you're going to write, I will do my best to spend, and then put an amount of time this week serving others. Now, I know you already serve others, but there's going to be a specific part of this. And I don't want you to put like 40 hours or every waking moment. I want you to put just a small amount of time, but decent amount of time, that you're going to do something specific. Because the second thing is, you are going to come up with a specific thing that you are going to do. Maybe it's this. Maybe your neighbors have gone through a tough time, and maybe their youngest child went off to college this last month, and you know they've really been hurting, sad. So maybe you say, hey, I'm going to spend 1 hour this week serving others. The second thing is, I'm going to make a meal for my neighbor. A simple but powerful, well, maybe not simple if you don't cook well, but say that's something you do well, but a powerful application of what we're called to do. That's just one example. We all know people that need to be served. And the challenge is to do it because we mean well and we get caught up with the busyness of life, or we become reactive rather than proactive and we miss the opportunities. So, let's take a minute, be thinking about it, praying about it, write down, I will spend serving others this week, and secondly, this is what I'm going to do. All right, so go ahead and do that right now. Father, we thank you for your love demonstrated to us in so many ways, at all times. And Lord, especially sending your Son Jesus Christ to come and to die for our sins so that we could have forgiveness through him. But Lord, help us to reflect your love in the lives of others by serving. Lord, help us to be known for our hospitality. Help us to be known for being a church family that reaches out to others around us who have needs. Lord, may you be glorified in the actions that we take this week. I pray that you would keep Satan from causing us to lose our focus, lose our determination. Lord, may we act as servants. May we be like Gaius. And Lord, we desire that you receive the glory for everything that you will do through us as you continue to work in us. And Lord, you will give us, we will give you the glory as you give us opportunity to serve you as we serve others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a couple things before our final song, and I could have done this earlier. It could have been an opportunity. As you know, we have a couple of our church family that are in Afghanistan, and Carla and Ryan, and Carla's serving there, and Ryan is a chaplain from our church, and so we just have a little bit of an update. We try to do that, and I know many of you are touching base with them or getting their updates, but Carla there on the right, Ryan in the middle, and Ryan sends me updates. I think he sends some of you updates also, but just wanted to give that update as a reminder for us. He's very excited. I got an email on Monday. They had started a new Sunday evening service. Last Sunday night, over 100 soldiers. It's incredible, isn't it? And so Ryan's very excited about what God's doing, and both Ryan and Carla appreciate your prayers and your love. And we can serve by praying. We can also serve by helping out. I know Angie's at home here with three children, so I know many of you have stepped out in ways that you could be an encouragement to her and the kids. And we need to continue to do that. Look for ways to help out. And don't wait to be reactive, be proactive on ways that you can help. And so Ryan wanted to thank us, and Carla wanted to thank us for the prayers, and we will continue to do that, and just excited about what God's doing. Ryan's traveling around all throughout. Carla, as in her job, is situated in one spot, but Ryan, as a chaplain, travels throughout Afghanistan working with soldiers and encouraging them. And I know many other soldiers who are in Afghanistan. I trust that you pray for them, and we are so thankful that they sacrifice for us, and not only them, but their families also. So continue to pray. The last bit of news, not quite as encouraging in ways it is, but Andy and Patty Matroka are moving to Billings. And obviously when people move, we don't allow people to move from here. But welcome to have people move in, but you can't move out. No. It's exciting. Andy has a tremendous job opportunity there in Billings, and so they will be moving, and we will be praying with them here in a week or two as they get ready to leave. But mention it because most of you know Patty is our children's ministry director, so she will be leaving. We tried to convince them it's not that long of a commute to Billings, but it hasn't worked quite that well. And we will be working on things. Obviously, we have many volunteers, and the programs will continue to run. We appreciate all that Patty has done and in strengthening that ministry. And we know God will continue to use it, but we need to be praying for that. And again, I want to appreciate all the children's workers and your service. And things will go on. We will miss them, but we're looking forward to what God has for them. And we know that God will be faithful in serving or in working as we serve here in Helena. So I wanted to let you know that, and so you can be praying for them. Let's close before our final song. I'd like us to pray for Ryan and Carla and for the others that are in Afghanistan and also for the ministry of Hannaford. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness. And Lord, we want to pray for Ryan and Carla and other soldiers. We pray for your protection, for your direction, and we think of their desire to be a testimony for you to the fellow soldiers. Lord, I pray that you would be with their families, that you would just encourage them. Lord, help us as a church family to be diligent and faithful in reaching out, and not just in prayer, but also in serving as we serve their families and as we love them. Lord, we pray for the ministry of Hannaford, and we pray specifically for the children's ministry. We thank you for all you have done, your incredible blessing upon this ministry. And Lord, it can only be explained through your power, and we give you the glory. Lord, I pray that you would just give us wisdom, and I pray that you would just encourage each of the children's ministry volunteers for all they do. And Lord, may we continue to be used by you to reach out to children and families through this ministry, and we will give you the glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.